last week on The Science Show, I reported on a mystery species of human that lived in an Indonesian cave for tens of thousands of years. Fossilised remains from that mystery human species could help archaeologists figure out exactly who they were. But even finding a whole skeleton doesn't necessarily mean everyone will agree on its identity. One such skeleton, originally classified as an ancient hominin called Australopithecus prometheus, may be a whole new species altogether. Dr. Jesse Martin from the University of Cambridge and La Trobe University led a study into the skeleton, which is nicknamed Littlefoot.
The first part of it that was discovered was a tiny little bit of foot bone, thus the name Littlefoot, but it wasn't found deep down in the dark and damp caves. It was found in a box of other fossils thought to belong to animals that aren't humans by a man called Dr. Ron Clark.
He could see that the foot bone, and a few others he also found, did not belong to a baboon, as was originally thought, but belonged to some kind of early hominin, some kind of Australopithecus species. And Australopithecus is ancient. It lived in Africa from around 4 million to 2 million years ago. While searching through the museum's boxes and bags of bones, Ron and his colleagues also came across a snapped-off piece of shin bone. It and all the foot and ankle bones came from a site in South Africa called the Sterkfontein Caves, and Ron thought the shin fragment in particular could help them find the rest of the skeleton. Here's Jesse Martin again.
And what they then did was they took this bone and they walked the entirety of the length of the Sterkfontein Caves, which are these really massive, deep, complex and dark cave systems where you have to shimmy along on your side and get down on your hands and knees. And they took this bone and they lined it up with all the other bits of little bone that they could see sticking out of the wall until they found where it fit. And once they found where it fit, they started digging into the cave wall. And over the period of decades, they excavated what turned out to be the entire skull. And so it's an absolutely one in a thousand type story of discovery.
Yeah, so when the Littlefoot skeleton was unveiled, it was identified as an ancient hominin called Australopithecus prometheus. Others since have thought it might be another Australopithecus called Australopithecus africanus. You think it's something else altogether, but before we get to why that is, what do we know about the individual from that beautiful, almost complete skeleton?
Well, we're only just scratching the surface. It was first published, Littlefoot, in 2019, and then, of course, we had COVID. So it was very difficult for researchers to travel to be able to look at this fossil. And so I think we're a little bit behind, but catching up now. We know that Littlefoot walked on two legs. We know that it must have had pretty powerfully built chewing muscles. We know that it's an adult because it has its adult teeth. But aside from that, what it was eating, how it was living, all of that work, all of that knowledge is still to play for. And I think that our hope is to play a very small part in trying to work out what species Littlefoot represents.
Okay, so key to Littlefoot's identity is not its feet, but its skull. So let's take a look at the skull in question. We have a few 3D printed crania in front of us on these tables, in various states by the looks of them. Some are a bit more complete than others. Which one is Littlefoot's head?
This one is Littlefoot.
This is Luca Morris Obst, a master's student at La Trobe University.
I always think he looks really funny because it kind of looks like he's got a permanent blue steel look on his face.
So the skull is also complete, but it looks like it's been squashed a bit. What's caused that squishing?
So that would happen from just sediment buildup over years, everything coming down and compacting on it. It's in a cave site. Everything's falling on top of it and essentially like solidifying and squishing. And as we said, it's in a limestone cave, so everything's calcifying. So when this one was taken out, it's actually like in one big chunk. You would not be able to remove the mandible from the jaw from the rest of the crania because it's all just smushed together.
Right, okay. So you can't pry open its jaw and take a look inside its mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it about Littlefoot's slightly squished skull, which means that you don't think it belongs to the species Australopithecus prometheus?
So obviously when we did our analysis, we had to look at the type specimen, which is the first fossil ever found for Australopithecus prometheus, and that only preserves a tiny portion of the back of the crania. So when we're doing our comparison, despite having an almost complete skeleton for Littlefoot, we could only compare it to the back of that bit, which obviously proves a lot of problems in itself. But even in that tiny area, there were still a lot of differences that we could notice.
The first is that Littlefoot has a thing we call sagittal crest. So if you put your hands on the side of your temple and you open and close your jaw, you'll feel the muscle move. That's the temporalis muscle. And ours are right on the side of our head. If you've got a cat or a dog as a pet and you scratch their head, you feel a big ridge of bone. That's called a sagittal crest. And that's because their chewing muscles are so big, they go right to the top of the head. Littlefoot was like cats or dogs in that way. It had these massive chewing muscles, whereas Prometheus, on average, doesn't. So that's one of the ways in which they're quite different. The others are in relation to the ways in which the different bones of the cranium join together in an area on the side and back of your head we call a sternum, which is very unique and very primitive, actually, in Littlefoot, and also in terms of the length of the bottom and back of the skull. Littlefoot has this massively long, what we call nuchal plane, which is essentially the bottom and back of the skull.
Right, so you can tell this despite Littlefoot's skull being squished over the many, many, many years it was locked away in a cave, you could still distinguish those differences between this slightly warped skull and the fragment of skull that we have from Australopithecus Prometheus, which I believe is called MLD1.
Well, we're actually pretty lucky because despite Littlefoot being pretty distorted, the back of the crania where we would compare it to MLD1 is actually pretty well preserved and undistorted.
Oh, that's very convenient. Nice one, Littlefoot. Thanks for that. So how do you know these are species-specific differences and not just, oh, this individual's got a slightly bigger head than this one, or this individual has a slightly more strangely shaped head than this one?
There are, of course, size differences. You know, if you look around at different modern humans, we're different sizes and to some extent slightly different shapes. But these are areas of anatomy, particularly in the base of the skull, that don't change very much or very quickly during human evolution. Our teeth change, anything to do with the way we interact with the environment changes quite quickly because it's about getting food in your body. But the back of your skull, that's just about holding your head up straight. And we've been doing that for 6.5 million years. So that's actually an area of anatomy where when you do see changes, it's quite significant. And it generally speaks to a species or greater level divergence.
Now, there's been a bit of controversy around when Littlefoot walked the earth. Can you just walk me through that debate?
So what we have in terms of the ages for Sterkfontein broadly are two hypotheses. One is that it's 2.6 million years old. That's based on a method called uranium lead dating, electron spin resonance dating, and paleomagnetic dating, and also faunal analysis. And then we have an old age of about 3.2 million years, which is based on a method called cosmogenics. So it's just interesting, I think, to note that this isn't about scientists interpreting the same data differently. This is about different dating methods giving different signals. And that's because caves are incredibly complex places. Sediment gets eroded and reworked and redeposited. And so I would say that whatever else be true about the age of Littlefoot, it is the same age as everything else from Sterkfontein, whether that's 2.6 or 3.2 million.
Either way, it's still really old. So why are people so worried as to whether it's 2.6 million years old or 3.2 million years old?
I think the easiest way to understand it is if you imagine reconstructing your own family tree, it's about whether or not the person you're interested in is your great-grandmother or your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. 2.6 million years is a really important time in human evolution because we know from other parts of Africa, in particular East Africa, and only through little scraps of teeth and bone, that our direct ancestors in the form of Homo are appearing on the landscape for the very first time. So if Littlefoot is 2.6 million years old, it's definitely in the right time zone, either to be one of our direct ancestors in the sense that it's ancestral to Homo, or minimally living alongside our direct ancestors. If it's older than that, at 3.5 million years old, then it would represent a very, very early occurrence of a quite modern type of human.
So you think that it might be a completely different species to any that are currently known, which would make Littlefoot its own little branch on the human ancestors' family tree, I suppose?
I think that's the key implication of our study. We haven't yet done the work to determine exactly what Littlefoot is. Really, what we've done is find two things that it isn't. And our work shows, I think, pretty conclusively that Littlefoot definitely isn't Prometheus. And to the extent that most people think Prometheus and Africanus are actually the same thing, it is by implication also not Africanus. That's really what's got us interested. It's so rare to find these fossils. It's rarer still to find one as complete as Littlefoot. And then it's infinitesimally rare to find both of those things of a previously unknown and new type of human. So the next steps for us will be to try and work out what Littlefoot is, where it sits and fits in the human family tree, and how it relates ultimately to us and our emergence onto the landscape. If Littlefoot represents a new species, then one of the really interesting implications is that more than one type of human are sharing the Sterkfontein cave landscape at the same time. And that raises all sorts of, I think, fascinating questions. What might those interactions have been like? Might they have stared across the hill at one another and kept their distance? Might they have fought? Might they have been friends or at least ambivalent to one another? We don't know. And in some ways, it's really hard to tell. But I think it's unique to consider that we are now, as the only surviving and last human, we are the aberration. We are the outlier. All other times, it seems almost, in our human evolutionary history, we were sharing the landscape with other types of humans.
Dr. Jesse Martin, an archaeologist at the University of Cambridge and La Trobe University in Melbourne, and his master's student, Luca Morris-Obst.